Hare Krishna. So, we are in Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1, Chapter 17. So, punishment and reward for Kali. That's what we are studying. So, the batch of verses which we are going to discuss today is from 29 to 37. So, where we ended was last week. Parikshit Maharaj is taking the sword, his sword, to kill Kali. So right there we stopped. So we'll actually continue from there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Narayanam namaskritya naram cheva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayamuti rayet. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. So I've grouped these verses into themes. Like verse number 29 is Kali actually surrendering, and then 30, 31, 32, that is actually Parikshit's response. As soon as Kali surrenders, what is Parikshit Maharaj's response? And then 33 and 34, Parikshit Maharaj actually in his response, he actually specifically states, the purpose of sacrifice is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead or satisfy the Supreme Lord. And then after Kali's response, after Parikshit Maharaj's response, what is Kali's request? So this is the set of verses 35 to 37. Oh, why this is all screwed up? Okay, we'll read from Bhagavatam.
Tam jignamsum abhipretya vihaya nripalanchanam tat padamulam sirasa samaghad bhaya vivala.
Translation: when the personality of Kali understood that the king was willing to kill him, he at once abandoned the dress of a king and, under pressure of fear, completely surrendered to him, bowing his head. So now Kali understood that Parikshit Maharaj will no longer wait, he is going to cut his head off. So as soon as he realized it, then immediately first thing he does is removing his dress and enclosed his real identity, and he is actually so much fearful that Kali, Parikshit Maharaj is going to, you know, kill him. So immediately he surrenders to Parikshit Maharaj by bowing his head. So in the purport, Prabhupada actually clearly points out two things. One is real Kshatriya and a artificially dressed up Kshatriya, so our pretender. So the real Kshatriya is will never surrender. Real Kshatriya will never surrender. Real Kshatriya will always fight, right? Either fight and wins, or he fight and dies. He will never surrender. So because he is the not real Kshatriya, he immediately surrendered. So what happens is, everybody is, you know, having dressed up in different ways. But when the real Kshatriya comes and challenges, then immediately they are actually revealed of their real identity, whether they are real Kshatriya or pseudo Kshatriya. And Prabhupada also points out, in Kali Yuga, whoever is in the Kshatriya, in a position or even the dress, they are all artificial. Nobody is actually real. That is the problem with the Kali Yuga. So I listened to one of the lectures by His Grace Radha Shyam Prabhu. There he quotes, what is the lakshana of Kshatriya? The lakshana or quality of Kshatriya is, there are so many lakshanas. One of the lakshana, primary lakshana, is to fight. When he is challenged, he will fight until he dies or he wins. So he told, even couple of, you know, thousand years ago, there was a king in India when the Muslims invaded. So this king is a small king. He had only few soldiers. His army is small. But the Muslim king, he had a huge army. But the plus point with this king, Indian, the Hindu king, is that all his soldiers, and including himself, they are very, very spirited. They are like, you know, either when we go for fight, either we win or we die. That's it. There is no in between. So because of his spirit and because of the soldier spirit, the king defeated the Muslim king and the entire army, and the entire army is, you know, devastated. And then he went back. Not one time, 17 times he was defeated. The 18th time, now the Muslim king understood that it is impossible for me to defeat this guy. So what he does, he goes and makes an ally with another Hindu king and comes. And now this time, this Hindu king get defeated and he got captured. So now the Muslim king tells, I'm not going to do the same mistake what you did, because you left me 17 times to be, you know, because each time he told, I'm giving you a chance, you go back, run away for your life. That's what he used to tell. But this time I'm not going to make the same mistake what you did. I'm going to cut your head off. But I have one desire. That is, I've heard that you have a special power, that you can actually shoot an arrow just by the sound. Shabda Bedibon. Right? So we will blindfold you and you can put an arrow and kill a bird when the bird is actually, you know, making some sound. So I want to see that. I want to see your power. So then he called all the assembly, everything is there, it's a big sports field, and, you know, blindfolded this Hindu king. He cannot, it's totally blind, and he cannot actually untie himself. He did like that, and then gave him a, you know, quiver and arrows, you know, bow. And then the king told, the bird will not make a sound, we are just going to open the box. As soon as the box is opened, the bird will flock. Just by hearing the flocks, the bird's flocking sound, you need to shoot an arrow and the bird should be killed. Then the Hindu king said, okay, I will do. So you just let me know when the box is open. The king said, okay, I will let you know. So, you know, he is blindfolded, he is ready. The king, you know, ordered, open the box, you know, open the box, the bird came out. The king said, box is open, now you shoot the bird. Immediately he released the arrow, killed the king with the sound, because he knew the, you know, basically what the Muslim king promised was, once you show me this technique, I will actually relieve you, I won't kill you. But the Hindu king knew very well that this guy is a cheater, he will not. So he immediately released the arrow and the king got killed. And then immediately so many Muslim soldiers, they are very angry. So anyone, okay, kill him. Immediately he shoots an arrow, that person is killed. So whoever makes the noise, he actually releases all the arrows. Maybe like he defeated like around 100 soldiers he killed. But then he eventually ran out of the arrows. And he knew very well that, you know, he's blindfolded, he cannot take it out. So by the time, you know, couple of people came and, you know, they killed him. Right? But he didn't worry about his death. That is the Kshatriya spirit. Right, and another story he told. Even the women, Rajput kings, right? The Rajput kings, even the queens, they're so brave. So one time, this Muslim king invaded. You know, entire kingdom was usurped. You know, the king was killed. Only the queen was left, and then the queen's palace was locked, and they were actually trying to open the palace. All the force, they couldn't open. And they, okay, we'll actually make them, starve them to death. So they announced, we are going to starve you to death. Still they didn't open. And then the king is very lusty, so he sent a note that if your queen is ready to marry me, I'll release all of you. And the queen says, why would I marry this person? He is a lusty, he is a sinful person. I would not marry. She rejected. Then again he told, okay, you don't have to marry me, I just want to see you once. He says, well, I don't want to see you either. She sent the note back. Then finally, you know, she, you know, met with her, you know, assistants, maid servants. Then they made a plan. Okay, this is a chance for the king to come. So, you know, anyway, he's going to let everybody loose. So then we will have an arrangement in such a way that you cannot see me directly, but there will be a mirror. You can see me in the mirror. I think, okay, agreed. So he came. So he saw her in the mirror. So now he is even more captivated, because lust is never satisfied. Right? The more you feed, the more it grows. He says, now I really want to marry you. I cannot go. Otherwise, I'm going to kill all of you. Then the queen says, okay. No, I'll marry you. But, you know, tomorrow evening, we will have the ceremony done. So we all, you know, give us some time to dress up everything. So next day evening, all the soldiers and everybody, you know, they're all in a festive mood. The king is so happy that she is going to marry. And he's actually drinking and doing whatever he was doing, right? And then next day evening came, all the palanquins came, right? Nicely decorated. And then all the soldiers, they're also like, you know, so captivated because the king is going to marry the queen and so many maidservants are there. So we are going to marry them. So they left all their bow and arrow, sword, everything. So they are also merrymaking. They are, okay, war is over. Now it's time to enjoy. So they are like that. So then as the palanquins came, 15-20 palanquins came, all got down. Immediately, who came out of the palanquin was all the soldiers. And they came on and they killed the Muslim king and all the, you know, all the soldiers like that. So even the, you know, the queens of Rajput, they are also very brave. So the whole point is, the Vedic culture, the kings were so powerful and they are so righteous that anybody surrenders to him, even the enemy, they will not kill. That is the righteous behavior. And when it is a fight, they will fight to the death. They will not actually run away. So that is the purpose of, that is the real quality of a Kshatriya.
पतितं पादयोर्वीर कृपया दीनवत्सलः शरण्यो नावदिच्छ्लोक्या आह चेदं हसन्निव.
Translation. Maharaj Parikshit, who was qualified to accept surrender and worthy of being sung in history, did not kill the poor surrendered and fallen Kali, but smiled compassionately, for he was kind to the poor. So now, Kali surrendered. Then immediately Parikshit Maharaj is smiling and he is very compassionate and he doesn't want to kill Kali. So Maharaj Parikshit, Prabhupada says, Maharaj Parikshit by nature is very compassionate and kind to the poor. Right? So this is, you know, this is true for the devotee, and this is also because Maharaj Parikshit is also a great devotee. He is a Raja Rishi. Right? He is a saintly devotee, at the same time he is a king. And why Parikshit Maharaj is smiling? He is smiling because as soon as he took the sword, this Kali, immediately he revealed his identity, that he is not a king anymore, he is just an ordinary Sudra, right? And he thinks, like, no one has escaped my sword, but look at this poor, you know, low class person, he is going to be saved because he surrendered. So he is actually, you know, it's a mixed situation, that's why he is smiling. And then Prabhupada says, Maharaj Parikshit's glory and kindness are therefore sung in history, and he was a kind and compassionate emperor. So he is so powerful, Kali personified, he could have killed immediately. But because he surrendered, even though he is an enemy, it's a duty of a king and a duty of a Kshatriya and a devotee to whoever takes surrender, we have to actually protect them. So with that, that's why Maharaj Parikshit is actually, because of that quality, Maharaj Parikshit is, you know, glorified. Yeah.
Rajo vacha nate guda kesha yashodharanam baddha jaler vaibhayam asti kinchit navartitavyam bhavata katashchana kshetre madiye tvam adharma bhanduhu.
The king thus said, we have inherited the fame of Arjuna, therefore since you have surrendered yourself with folded hands, you need not fear for your life, but you cannot remain in my kingdom, for you are the friend of irreligion. Actually, I was listening to Rompad Maharaj's lecture. He told, he is not adharma bandhu, he is adharma personified. He is not a friend of the irreligion, but he is the irreligion personified. So now he has surrendered, and Parikshit Maharaj is not going to kill him. But just because he surrendered doesn't mean that Maharaj Parikshit, okay, you can do whatever you want to do. He didn't give him freedom also, because he knows he is Adharma personified. So now he has to, it's a dilemma, right? So he should not kill him, at the same time he should keep him in control. So that's the now what Parikshit Maharaj is going to do, with what is the decision he is going to make. Then he says, we have inherited. So this is look at what Prabhupada stated actually. Translated, he actually quoted, we have inherited. Actually, it's only Parikshit Maharaj there. Nobody else is there. No other Pandavas are there. No other descendants of Pandavas are there. Only he is there chastising Kali. But what he says, he didn't say, I have inherited. He says, we have inherited. So that shows Parikshit Maharaj's humility. So if any time we do some kind of service, right? We don't say, I did it. We don't say, we have done it, right? Like that. So he's not putting himself in the front, but he is actually trying to, you know, be humble. And then he says, we have inherited the fame of Arjuna. So Pandavas, what is the real glory of Pandavas? The real glories of Pandavas are not, you know, they are actually, you know, Dharmaraj, or they are, you know, great archers and great, you know, whatever they're doing, but actually they are devotees of the Lord. And for that reason, the Lord actually wanted them to be the emperor, Yudhishthira to be the emperor. So the Lord wants the devotees to be the representative in the earthly planet, so that they can give good guidance to the citizen, they can rule the kingdom properly, so that everybody can do their occupational duty. At the same time, they can actually please the Supreme Personal Godhead and go back. So Pandavas are the entrusted representative of the Supreme Personal Godhead. So anybody who is actually a representative of God, he not only follows the principles, but also he propagates that everybody else follow the same principles, especially the kings. The kings, they are the leaders, and they have to make sure that the citizens follow the principles. If they don't follow the principles, then they are going to suffer, and 1/6 of the karma will all going to come to the king. So a responsible king like Maharaj Parikshit could not allow the friend of religious to flourish. So he, just because he surrendered doesn't mean that, you know, he is going to give freedom. He is going to actually curtail Kali personified. And the friends of irreligiosity should be banished from the state to keep tranquility in the society. Yeah. So if you look at the current modern day society, right, even the leaders are actually into irreligiosity, right? So we are talking about corruption, but actually all the top level leaders, they are in corruption. If they are doing corruption, then what about the citizens? Who is going to guide them, right? So the religious principles, like Bill Clinton, right, he told, don't look at my personal life. And so many people say, this is a big theory, especially in India, they say, oh, don't talk about this Swamiji in his personal life, don't bring his personal life. But whatever he is teaching, it is great. He gives classes in Bhagavad Gita, his class is great. But whatever he is doing in his personal life, why do you want to go to his personal life? So how do you respond to this?
In India, most of
I just went to India, right? So this time, somebody was telling, oh, this is Nityananda, right? Oh, don't go into his personal life. But look at his teachings. He is doing great teachings. What good is the teaching? Right? If you are telling something, and by the way, his teaching is also nonsense, that he doesn't know.
Prabhupada says, the teacher teaches the Gita, but if you go and see, he is drinking, he is reading.
Yeah, so first one is Achar, the next comes Prachar. Achar means behavior, then comes preaching. So one time, I think Govindar Prabhu told me this one story, right? One mother took her child. The child was eating sweets all the time. So she took her to the sage, and sage, please tell my son he's eating so much sweets, it's not good. Then the sage told, bring your son next week. Next week she came, and then that sage told, boy, from tomorrow don't eat sweets. Then the mother was bewildered. You could have told this last week. Why are you telling after 1 week? Said, because till last week I was also eating sweets. Yeah. Right? So the representative of God, or the, you know, the leader, right, should be in such a way that they should follow the principles, and then actually they can make sure that others can follow. And especially this is for the, you know, guru, mother, father, teacher, king, right? Friends, relatives, these are the, you know, there's a beautiful shloka in 5th canto, right? Guru na sashyat, pita na sashyat, swajano na sashyat, janani na sashyat. So basically, one cannot become a guru, one cannot become a father, one cannot become a mother, one cannot become a teacher, one cannot become a king, unless and until he is capable to deliver his dependence. I think Bhaktivedanta Maharaj also sent one of the Prabhupada snippet, illicit father, illicit mother. So illicit father, illicit mother means when somebody is not capable to deliver their dependence going back to Godhead, then that means we are also illicit. So here Parikshit Maharaj, being the ideal king and a great devotee, he is actually is going to curtail Kali Purusha in that.
Tvam vartamanam naradeva dehesh anu pravrittoyam adharma puga lobo nritam chauryam anaryamam ho jeshta chamaya kalahascha dhamba.
Translation: if the personality of Kali, irreligion, is allowed to act as a man god or an executive head, certainly irreligious principles like greed, falsehood, robbery, incivility, treachery, misfortune, cheating, quarrel and vanity will abound. So Parikshit Maharaj is telling, if a personality of Kali or irreligion, you know, if he is allowed to act as the leader position, then what will happen? All these things will flourish. So if you look at India, right, especially all these bogus gurus, right, what happens? Right after they, you know, while they are living itself, either way they find all these problems, that all this, whatever we talk about, greed, falsehood, robbery, incivility, all these things are there, even in their own mutt, right? Or after their death, so many things are disclosed. So if an irreligious person is allowed to be in the position of a leader, wherever it may be a king, it may be a state, it may be in a spiritual, you know, leader position, or it may be a teacher, even in the schools there are problems. Right, wherever there is a irreligious personified is given charge, automatically all these things will follow.
Because Kali is dead.
Yeah, because the leader, whatever the great men follow, is all common will follow. Right, common men will always looking for who should we follow. They are always going to follow. So if you don't give a good example, they are going to follow the bad example. So that is the why it is very imperative for the person who is in the leader position, right? Whether it any level leader, right? That leader should be following the religious principles. And Prabhupada very beautifully explains in the purport, religious principles are very, very important. It doesn't matter which faith you belong to. You may be a Christian, you may be Muslim, you may be anybody, any faith. It doesn't matter. But follow the religious principles. So yesterday I was listening to one of the lectures. In the lecture, one white boy or somebody was asking question, challenging like to Prabhupada, very energetic. Oh, you are telling, you know, you have to worship a form Krishna and we are just worshipping a form Jesus Christ. What is the big difference? You are worshipping Krishna. Prabhupada told, do you follow the religious principles? First question he asked. So if you are eating meat, then you are not Christian, you are a cheater. Immediately he told. Are you eating meat? Are you killing animals? If you say yes, that means you are not a Christian. You are a cheater. Because Jesus Christ told, thou shalt not kill. And you are breaking the principle. Immediately. So principles of religion should be followed. It doesn't matter which faith you follow, right? And also next he says the duty of the state. Right now, if you go to India, right? I went this time. What I found out was, because I was doing this discovery yourself seminar in my village, so I went to all the schools, all the colleges. I went and met the principal or school headmaster to give the invitation.
Schools, so the colleges, you paid the invitation and met
them. Yeah, so basically the general invitation, I went and meet the principal or the head of the institution, so that get permission, so we can go and meet the teachers, so that the teachers can come and. But to go into the school and give all the teachers, we need permission from the head, right? So what I found was, I could go to all the, most of the colleges and I went. But one high school I couldn't go, because the high school headmistress is a Christian. So this person who is helping me, because he is from local, right? He told, okay, these are the schools you can go. This. So he told, we cannot go there. Because if you go, this person will not allow. Because she is a Christian. So if you look at it, it doesn't matter. The state can be, especially India, you know, it's a secular state. They say, oh, you cannot produce, you cannot actually actively propagate any specific religion into the, especially the school district, you know, school or the public institution, anywhere, right? So that is a secular state. What Prabhupada is telling, the state can be discriminative for the faiths, but indiscriminate to the religious principles. When it comes to no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex, the state should be really vigilant. The state should make sure that these are followed. But the state can be discriminate to any faith. So you want to give specific this religion, you want to give more freedom, you can give. That is okay. But what is not okay is to not to follow the principles. So whatever we are doing, whatever is there right now, it is opposite. Yeah, Prabhupada says,
yeah.
Right? The state can be.
Yeah, state can be.
They can give extra benefits to some religion. This thing, that is okay, but the state should make sure that the religious principles are followed. When the religious principles are not followed, immediately they have to be, curtailed.
नवर्तितव्यं तदर्मबन्धो धर्मेन सत्येन च वर्तितव्ये ब्रह्मावर्ते यत्र यजन्ति यज्ञैर् यज्ञेश्वरं यज्ञवितान विज्ञाः.
Therefore, O friend of irreligion, you do not deserve to remain in a place where experts perform sacrifices according to the truth and religious principles for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now, Kali surrendered and Parikshit Maharaj smiled. Then he gave a response that you, even though you surrendered, you are not going to stay in my kingdom, right? So now, Parikshit Maharaj, the next two verses, he is going to talk about why you cannot stay. Because this is a place where the religious sacrifices are performed for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the next two verses, he is going to talk about the purpose of sacrifice and what, you know, why the Kali cannot stay in his kingdom. So Brahmavarta, Prabhupada says, Brahmavarta actually mean a place or country in which the supremacy of the Lord is accepted and the sacrifice is performed. So you accept there is a Supreme, and you accept that we are actually servant of the Supreme and we have to do some sacrifice. So any place or any country where this is accepted, that is called Brahmavarta. And Prabhupada states, in different places, different countries, according to the different faith, they have different types of sacrifices. It's okay. But as long as they accept somebody as Supreme and do some kind of sacrifice to please the Supreme Lord, that should be happening. That is actually Brahmavarta. And Prabhupada further states, the basic principle of religion is truthfulness. And the ultimate goal of religion is to satisfy the Lord. Right? This is actually Yajneshwara Bhoktaram Yajnitapasam. Right? Sarva Lokai Maheshwaram. Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam Yatvam Shantim Chati. So the real purpose of all the sacrifice is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada further goes, what is the recommended sacrifice for this age. For different ages, there are four ages. In each age, there is a different type of sacrifice recommended. Right? Krite yad dhyayato vishnum, tretayam ajato makai, dvapare parcharyayam, kalau tad harikirtanath. So in Satyayuga, the process is meditation. In Tretayuga, the process is sacrifice. And Dvapara Yuga, temple worship, deity worship. And in Kali Yuga, Harinam Sankirtan. And Prabhupada says the greatest common formula, it doesn't matter where you are coming from, the greatest common formula is Sankirtan Yajna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come and given this freely. So now we just need to take it and propagate. So what is the application? This verse specifically talks about we need to conduct Sankirtan. It doesn't matter where you are. Sthane sthita sudhigatam, right? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, wherever you are, just conduct Sankirtan. It may be in your home, it may be with your neighbors, it may be in your temple, but wherever you are, try to do Sankirtan. So that is the essence of this. How can we apply in this verse?
Yasmin harir bhagavan yijyamana yijyatmamutir yajatam santonoti kamanamogan stirajangamanam antar bahirvayur ivaishva atma.
In all sacrificial ceremonies, although sometimes a demigod is worshipped, the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, is worshipped because He is the super soul of everyone and exists both inside and outside like the air. Thus, it is He only who awards all welfare to the worshipper. So, continuing on the sacrifice, right? So, now Parikshit Maharaj goes further. It is, there may be different types of sacrifice for different demigods, but ultimately, the purpose of all the sacrifice is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because He is the super soul of everyone.
So, it's between conversation between Kali and.
So, Parikshit Maharaj is now telling Kali. Yeah, Parikshit. Yes. Because he said, you cannot stay here because this is the place where we are worshipping. Then he may think, oh, it's not only the place where only Supreme Personality Godhead is sacrificed. There are so many other yajnas are going on, I can go there. No. He says, any yajna, wherever it's happening, the ultimate purpose is to please the Supreme Lord. Right? So, in Bhagavad Gita 9.23, Krishna says, right? Epi Anya Devata Bhakta, right? Yajante Shaddayanvida Tepi Mameva Kaunteya Yajanti Avidhi Purvakam. Right? Avidhi Purvakam. So anybody who worships any other demigod, actually they are worshipping me only. But they are worshipping in a wrong way. Right? Whatever a man sacrifices to other gods, O son of Kunti, is really meant for me alone, but is offered without true understanding. Right? So in the 7th chapter also, Bhagavad Gita it says, right? According to the different types of modes they are in, they have faith in the different types of demigods. But actually, the faith is given by Krishna only. Krishna says, whoever has faith in whatever demigod they are worshipping, but the faith is given by me. Not only the faith, when they worship Sataya Shaddaya Yukta Stasya Radhana Mihate Labade Chatak Kaman Maya Vividanidan, their desires also fulfilled by me alone. So Shraddha is given by Krishna, their benefit is given by Krishna. Right? At the end of the day, they think that they got the result. But then he says, Antavattu Param Desham. So whatever the result they get, it is temporary, but they don't know that it is temporary. So that's why whoever worship demigod, they go to demigod, but whoever worship me, they come to me.
Krishna gives it through their agent, through his agent.
Yeah, but ultimately, without his sanction, nothing will happen. Why? Because the Lord is there as a super soul in the Devata's heart. The Lord is there in the super soul as a super soul in the worshipper's heart. Right? How does the Devata know that he is worshipping me? How does the demigod know that this person is worshipping me? Krishna says, Sarvasya Chaham Hridayanni Vishto Matta Smritanyanam Apohanam Cha. So even the demigod's heart, Krishna has a super soul. So only Krishna has to reveal, hey, this person is worshipping you. Now you have to give this. right? So only because of Krishna the faith is given, and the demigod also giving benediction, but actuality everything is happening because of Krishna. And then Prabhupada at the last line he says demigod worship is unceremonious because it is irregular. Why it is irregular? Yes, it's a need basis. Because today I want good health, I go to Suryadev. And then tomorrow I want good education, I go to, you know, Gurudev or Saraswati. And then tomorrow I want money, I go to Lakshmi, right? It is irregular. And Prabhupada says demigod worship is unceremonious because it is irregular. And Prabhupada further states, these worships are for people with less intelligence or less knowledge. But anybody who is a scholar and anybody who is a devotee, he directly worships the Lord. Why? Because he knows who is who. He is not bewildered. Because he knows all these different devatas are nothing but the different limbs of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he directly goes to the Lord, he doesn't go to indirectly with the devatas.
Suta uvacha parikshitaivam adishta sakalir jata vepatuhu tam udyasritam adhidam dandapanim ivotyadam.
Shri Suta Goswami said, the personality of Kali, thus being ordered by Maharaj Parikshit, began to tremble in fear. Seeing the king before him like Yamaraj, ready to kill him, Kali spoke to the king as follows. Now, Kali surrendered, then Parikshit Maharaj smiled, then he gave the response, you cannot stay here because this is the place where we are doing sacrifices, and sacrifice is meant for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, Kali is actually bewildered. He is actually trembling in fear. Why? Because he sees Parikshit Maharaj as Yamaraj. The Prabhupada says every state leader, king, should be like this. So anybody who is committing any sinful activity, they should be fearful of death. They should see the leader as Yamaraj. But nowadays even the leaders, they are into, you know, all the religious,
they are on the other side.
Yeah. So the king or executives must be so strong as to stand before the personality of Kali like the personality of death, Yamaraj. Like that. So I have always thought Dandapani, actually in Tamil called Dandapani is Muruga. But actually Dandapani actually mean Danda is to punish, right? So Dandapani is actually Yamaraj. So now Kali request.
कलिरुवाच यत्र क्वावात वत्स्यामि सार्वभौमात् जास्वय लक्ष्ये तत्र तत्रापि त्वामातेषु सरासनम्.
ओ योर मजेस्टी, दो आई मे लिव एनीवेयर एंड एवरीवेयर अंडर योर ऑर्डर, आई शैल बट सी यू विद बो एंड एरोस वेर एवर आई लुक. He says, I can go anywhere, but wherever I go, I only look at you because you are there with bow and arrow. Because it's everywhere is your kingdom, and wherever I go, you're going to kill me. In the purport, very nicely Prabhupada says, Kali knows anyway he's going to kill him. So wherever I go, he's going to come because I cannot do any sinful activity. So it's better to be killed then and there rather than in future somewhere, some other place. So the personality of, this is a beautiful, you know, poetry, how about Prabhupada writes, the personality of Kali was meant for mischief and Maharaj Parikshit was meant for subduing all kinds of mischief mongers, especially the personality of Kali. So Kali meant for mischief and Parikshit Maharaj is meant for, you know, punishing, subduing all kinds of mischief mongers, right? Especially the personality of Kali. Now, what is Kali, Parikshit Maharaj going to do? Because he is in a dilemma, he cannot kill him, but he is surrendered. Now he cannot give him freedom also. Now he needs to decide what he is going to do.
तन्मे धर्ममृतां श्रेष्ठ स्थानं निर्देष्टुमर्हसि यत्रैवो नियतवत्स्य आतिष्ठं तेऽनुशासनम्.
Therefore, O chief amongst the protector of religion, please fix some place for me where I can live permanently under the protection of your government. So here the beautiful verses, Dharma Pratham Shrestha. Dharma Pratham Shrestha actually mean, of all the protectors of religion, Shrestha means chief. He is the chief of the protectors of religion, Parikshit Maharaj.
Why?
Okay, we'll read the translation. Therefore, O chief amongst the protectors of religion, please fix some place for me where I can live permanently under the protection of your government. Purport. King Parikshit says, stated, chief amongst the protectors of religiosity. Why? Because the religious principle for a Kshatriya is to protect even an enemy if he is surrendered. So here, even though he is Kali personified, actually the sages of the Shaunakadi Munis, right, they were actually bewildered and actually they were angry.
Why didn't he kill
them? Yeah, they were actually angry. Sruta Goswami, why did Parikshit Maharaj did not kill Kali? Because he is getting a cow. He should be killed immediately. Don't talk about all these things now. Tell me all the things which are related to only Krishna. So they are angry. But now, you know, Parikshit Maharaj, because he also follows Kshatriya Dharma, he is a devotee. So anyone who surrendered, he should also give protection. So that's the dilemma. Right? A surrender should be given all protection, even though he may be an enemy. That is the principle of religion. So now Parikshit Maharaj, even though he is an enemy, even though he is Kali personified, because he surrendered, he has to give protection. So then Prabhupada goes, if this is the case of an enemy who is Kali personified, he himself taking shelter and Parikshit Maharaj is giving protection, then what to speak of the Supreme Lord? If we go and surrender to him, not as an enemy, but as a devotee, servitor, then what sort of protection we will get? So imagine. So this is Prabhupada's comment. See how Prabhupada linked. Huh?
Yeah, you gotta think.
See, Dharma Pratham, he is Dharma Pratham Shrestha. He is the chief of the protectors of the religion. So if devotee is like this, then what about the Lord? And if a devotee can protect the enemy, even if he is surrendered, then what about the Lord if somebody goes and surrender to him as a devotee? So the protection is, Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Paridhaja Mamekam Sharanam Raja Aham Tvam Sarva Bhapipya Mokshayishyami Mahashucha. I will actually protect you from all your sins and also all your sinful reaction. Do not worry. So that is the benediction of Krishna. Right? So, and actually I listened one of the lectures by Rompada Maharaj. Actually, I could listen to a couple of lectures from Rompada Maharaj and one lecture from Radhisham Prabhu. That's all I could listen. There actually Rompada Maharaj very nicely stated one incident. In this lecture he gave in Hyderabad. So when he was, you know, landed in Hyderabad, he was coming out of the airport. So all the airport officials, like five people, they surrounded him. Oh, Swamiji, please come. Please come. Oh, you're here to give some Bhagavad Gita lecture?
Oh, really?
Yes. Then Maharaj was smiling. Yes. Okay. Do you know Hindi? Then Maharaj told, no, I don't know Hindi. Sarvadharman paridhyaja mamekam sharanam raja. Oh, Sanskrit. Okay. So what is it with? Then Maharaj told, yeah, just leave everything. Just surrender to Krishna. Oh, that one point, you know, we need to focus on one point. Maharaj told, no, one point and focus on Krishna. Because they all Mayavadis. They want, oh, we just need to meditate on one point. And Maharaj told, no, that one point is Krishna. The point of all, the focus of all, the origin of all, the one point is Krishna. It is not, if you say it's Krishna, other than Krishna, if it is one point, and it is one point in Maya. So anything which is not related to Krishna, if you think, even though if you say it's Brahma Jyoti, whatever, that one-pointedness is Maya. So then Maharaj actually explained. So there are so many dharmas. So, no, no, as a husband, we have dharma, pati dharma. As a wife, you have patni dharma. As a daughter, you have dharma. As a citizen, you have dharma. You know, we have so many dharmas. But after explaining all these dharmas, Krishna told sarva dharman parityaja. Abandon all varieties of dharma. So what does it mean? What does this mean? He explained all the dharmas and he says sarva dharman parityaja. Give up all varieties of dharma. What does it mean? Then Prabhupada told, you know, in one of the lectures, Prabhupada told, that means all of these are not dharma. Sarva dharman parityaja, mamekam sharanam. Surrender to Krishna, that is the dharma.
Prabhupada says indirectly, it is cheating. Because yes, people take it that they never go to the higher.
Yes.
So that is there to for gradual elevation, but the absolute is that to surrender to Krishna only.
Yes.
So those are the cheating which take shelter of that.
Yes.
Remain there.
Yes. So yesterday night I was listening to this lecture. I didn't know exactly where. I was in Navin Krishna's home. You know, the lecture is going on 24 hours at their home. So I just listened. I was there at that time and Prabhupada was talking. Then he told, why Krishna told abandon all kinds of religion, all dharma. That means all of these are not dharma, surrendering him to his dharma. So then he quoted one shloka, I don't know the Sanskrit shloka. He told, what is the use of dharma? What is the use of doing all this tapasya, austerity, all you perform, if you cannot surrender to Krishna? And if you surrender to Krishna, what is the use of all this, the other austerity and tapas, whatever you perform? So that means, all the purpose of performing any kind of austerity, tapasya is to surrender to Krishna. And if you surrender to Krishna, there is no need of doing any other austerities.
But also one time he said, like, if you surrender to Krishna, that is already you have been doing, which you did.
Yes. Krishna says, right?
Separately. Included already.
Krishna says in the 8th chapter, what is it? What is the shloka of Bhujas? Vedeshu yagneshu. Vedeshu yagneshu tapasu chayva. Daneshu yat punya palam pradishtam. Atyedi chat sarvamidam viditva. Yogi paramsthanam avaiti chadhyam. So, anyone who has taken shelter of Krishna, right? He has actually, surpassed all these things. And, you know, he includes all the benefits of all these things. Like that. So you know that shloka, Prabhuji? What Prabhupada quoted, that Sanskrit shloka? Like, yeah, basically, it's a beautiful shloka. I couldn't memorize. Yeah. No, it's a Sanskrit. Yeah. He says, basically, anyone who surrenders to Krishna, what is the use of doing any tapasya or austerity? Or what is the use of any austerity and tapasya if you cannot surrender to Krishna? Like that.
Madhavendra also says the same thing. What is the use of daily
duties? Yes, that is,
daily duties.
Yeah, that is the second chapter, I think, Yamnacharya quotes.
Yamnacharya?
Yamnacharya quotes, second chapter, that is the Param Drishtva Nivartade, or one of the shlokas, in that Prabhupada quotes that. Yeah. So, this whole section, what is the take-home message? Actually, at least it is for me. So, surrender unto personalities like Parikshit Maharaj. Even though I am in a garb of a devotee, internally I have so many anarthas. Right? We have to take shelter of personality like Parikshit Maharaj. That means all our, ISKCON gurus, Siksha Gurus, Diksha Guru, all the spiritual leaders, we should just take shelter of him, shelter of them, and follow their instructions. When you say surrender, doesn't mean I surrender unto you, and Prabhuji, do this. Oh, I don't have time for it. So follow the instructions. And then, not only taking shelter of personalities like Parikshit Maharaj, and also as a devotees, we should imitate the mode of Parikshit Maharaj. Yeah. Because everywhere there is Kali now. So we have to be in the mood of Parikshit Maharaj to fight. Because Parikshit Maharaj was not tolerating. Right? Because I think one of the previous verses Prabhupada quotes, just because it is rain, you don't just go and don't go walk outside. You take umbrella or you have your jacket, hooded jacket, something you want to protect yourself. So people, this is Kali Yuga Prabhu, we cannot do anything. Kali Yuga is progressing. No. Kali Yuga will progress. Like for rain, how you are protecting yourself, like that, devotees, we should be ready to fight Kali. Right? So how do? You know, follow Harilas Prabhu's instruction, follow Sikshan Guru's instruction, you know, help Amrita Prabhu, Balaram Prabhu, conduct DVS classes, you know, do whatever you can in your capacity, you know, to fight back. And be sincere servant of Lord Chaitanya. And then spread Sankirtana movement, because Prabhupada told there is much more to be done. You know, I'm depending on you to further spread this movement. This is what Prabhupada told. I think this is from a previous slide. Prabhupada once again told, because just to inspire, one time I met Harishaur the other day here, and he told me that Prabhupada once took his hand and asked, "Do you know the secret? Do you know the secret? Does anybody know?"
I
don't think so. No. I think in my previous class, in the Vidura delivering Dhritarashtra, right? I quoted the same. So this is Prithu Prabhu telling Harishauri, and Prithu Prabhu and Harishauri, they are the Prabhupada disciples. Prithu Prabhu met Harishauri. And Harishauri told that Prabhupada told him once, he took Harishauri's hand, "Do you know the secret? You know what's the secret? The secret is that preaching is much more important than bhajan." This is Prabhupada telling to Harishauri Prabhu. Because what happens? When you preach, automatically you are forced to do bhajan. Because if you don't do bhajan, you cannot preach. That is for sure. So what I realized was, I didn't read Bhagavatam for so long. Prabhuji gave me the assignment. Now I am sincerely reading.
First you do the bhajan and then preach. For bhajan is your reading.
No, the point is, if you want to preach, you have to do bhajan. So, if you want to teach, see, you shared today morning. Today morning you shared, right? You started teaching yoga, then you learned, then you practiced. Right? So similarly, when we put ourselves, I think anybody who is in a teaching position, you will know, right? So before conducting DVS class, but once you want to do DVS class, you have to listen to Ravana, you have to listen to the Radha Gopinath. How many times, Amran Prabhu, you heard, like, how many times you heard? 7 times. Right? So when you are in preaching, obviously you have to do bhajan. Without bhajan, you cannot preach. So that is why Prabhupada is telling, the secret is, preaching is much more important than bhajan. If I say, let me do bhajan, then bhajan, I will sleep. Tamal Krishna Maharaj, one of the lectures I listened, he told, Prabhupada engaged all the American disciples in America to go out on book distribution. And he engaged all the disciples in India to construct temples. Right, one time Tamakrishna was just like so much anxiety, like, you know, somebody went and told that, we are not chanting Hare Krishna, we are only working on the bricks and this thing, that thing, you know, fighting with Indian laborers. Then they went and told Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada told, "Good, this is your service to Krishna. If you don't do this, if you don't have this anxiety, you will sleep."
Yeah, that's right.
So why do you think Harilas Prabhu is pushing, right? The reason to push, if you don't push, what will happen is, immediately Maya will take over. Right? It may be any service, any kind of service. Either, you know, service means Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Archanam, Mantaram, Dasyam, Sadhu, whatever service. You have to be engaged in service. If you are not engaged in Krishna service, automatically you are in Maya service. Right? What is it? Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hai Andhakara Jahan Krishna Dahanahi Maya Radhikara. So we have to you know, imbibe the mood of getting into preaching. Are we running out of time, Prabhuji?